sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies, that only get bad. But the stream is good with the DLFGS.
Welcome to episode 979. This is like episode 30 of not getting the audio correct for the intro or the levels. Just such an annoying pain in the ass. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going, man?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Mostly here.
And I will tell you what, gentlemen. I had come down with the worst ever swimmer's ear infection that I have ever had starting Sunday night. And I made three big mistakes. One, it came on Sunday afternoon, but I decided to go swimming with my daughter anyway. Down into the deep 15 foot, pushed it right in there. And now I woke up Monday morning and it hurt so bad.
Ear infection?
Yes, swimmer's ear infection. It is my right ear. It hurts so bad. Like, I took the day off. I slept all day, which is my second mistake. My wife was like, maybe you should go to the doctor or at least the CVS MinuteClinic. And I'm like,
right.
I can hold out till Wednesday when I have my physical, my 6-month checkup. Yeah, and Monday night I couldn't eat anything.
And your doctor said you're a dumbass.
Well, I couldn't eat anything Monday night. I woke up Tuesday morning and it was worse than it was on Monday. So I'm like, the hell with this. I'm going to the only place that was the first thing that was open was Patient First. MinuteClinic, I wasn't getting in till after my appointment at the doctor on Wednesday. They were all booked up. Went to Patient First, and he's like, yeah, it's bad. And he's like, it's so swollen that it's going to feel like you broke those bones in there. That's how swollen it is. So he hooked me up, and
antibiotics.
Oral antibiotics and drops. He said, we're going to target this thing from both directions. I finally started feeling better this afternoon. And I was so fucking hungry, man. Because I couldn't eat anything except like yogurt or something soft like that. But by this afternoon, I was able to eat some ramen. And things were looking good. And then I was like, I didn't make anything. I'm like, you know, why don't you stop Food Lion and bring home some chicken? And my wife did. And I started eating that, and I'm going, and my jaw was doing pretty good. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh my goodness. It felt like somebody took a sledgehammer to the side of my head. It was so sore. I had to sit up in bed for like a half hour with just an ice pack against it. I was like, I told my wife, who's had three kids and then had that neck surgery because of a slip disc, I said, you don't know pain, woman. You don't know pain. This is pain. So, yeah, I might not be too talkative, but what makes it double thing that makes this thing tough is, one, I can't really chew anything. The swelling's starting to go back down again now. And two... this is my right ear. I can hardly hear anything out of it. It was so swollen. And my left ear, I had punctured my eardrum and pulled my bones out of whack about a decade ago. So I have reduced hearing in my left ear. I can't hear for shit. Like, I can't hear anything. I'm like in my own little world and people are talking to me. I can't hear a damn thing. But there
Damn.
We go.
So I've been there.
Yeah, I'll let you guys talk for a little bit because my jaw is hurting.
Man, I don't have much to talk about tonight. Things have been slow. I mean, unless you really want to hear me whine and complain about work.
Why not?
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't really want to talk about this week. It's not been a great week. But
I don't have much to talk about at work either because I've been out for 2 days.
That's like, see, we have had fairly big incident. A client went live in the cloud. Their first registration, first day went okay, second day, crash and burn. So we got from every level of the company, we got people involved in this stupid thing. And R&D says, well, they can't register people like that. And I'm like, oh, that's great. But, yeah, it's been one of those weeks. And then next week, not exactly sure how this is going to work out, but I'm supposed to be in training for my new team that will be as of December 5th. And that's next week, but the week after, it's Thanksgiving week. So I got to get turkey yet, but I'm excited that there's a week and a couple of days until Thanksgiving. The week of it, anyway.
You excited?
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
So,
we'll see if that works a little better.
Is that better?
There you go.
What is the problem with my security? So Jesus. How many times have I gotta I feel like I'm always updating this fucking certificate. I don't know why. I guess one of the good things I will say about being out 2 days and having other things to do at work is it was about a week and a half ago I went to do some additions to our Google services, and everything is done in Terraform. And we have in our repository, we have an infrastructure repository where we do all our Terraform, and then we use Scalar, which applies that Terraform, and it came back with a boatload of errors, but no real good description of what the problem was. So I exhausted my resources of looking through that myself because it didn't tell me anything, right? And so I had to reach out to our engineering team, platform engineering team, who maintains Scalar, to look at this. And what we ultimately came down to, or what they ultimately came down to saying, because it really wasn't showing any errors, is that the – and so I had merged some stuff on Monday, and I think this was Wednesday. So Monday was fine. Wednesday it wasn't. And they said that Google just released version 4.42 of their Terraform. So I probably have something that's not compatible with that version. So I went over to the change log, and the change log did not indicate any breaking changes or anything that would indicate that it would cause a problem. So I went and I had two choices. I either had to go through the entire Terraform file and compare it with the structure that's published for 4.42 to see if there was something that changed and I had to fix, or I could pin the version. So I pinned the version back to 4.41 and it worked. But that obviously that was just a band-aid to get us through that point. We needed to fix it. So I eventually get to it today, and I'm going through the Terraform line by line and comparing the resources and the required fields in the resources. And I'm thinking somewhere along the way, like under one of the resources, and a resource is like a service account IAM or a storage bucket or a PubSub topic or whatever. You know, that's the kind of resource I'm talking about. You define a resource and you give it what it needs to be configured with. And I'm thinking somewhere along the line, a optional field now is a required field, probably the project field. All right. So for Google IAM project requires the project to be put in there because it doesn't interpolate it from the rest of the structure. Google IAM service account, I think it's called, or Google service account IAM. There's Google project IAM, there's Google service account IAM. Service account IAM does not require you to specify the project. It just assumes it's the project that you're running the Terraform against. Whereas project IAM requires you to specify the project. So I thought maybe there was something like that. So I went through our whole development one line by line and compared it. And I made some changes and I screwed up. I put project ID for the service accounts, Google service account IAM, which I thought was a required field, but I read it wrong. It's not even allowed in there apparently. So I messed that up. I went back and removed all that. I thought there was maybe a project ID or project missing from some of the project IAM accounts. I don't see how that could have been possible because it would have broken before. But I got it passed and got it working, and it was fine. And that's when I noticed that Google published 4.43. Real shortly, soon after 4.41. So I went over to the staging one, and all I did was change the four. I removed the version requirement and let it run against 4.43, and voila, it wasn't broken. So I think there was some kind of bug in 4.42, and I should have looked in the change log, which I didn't, because once I got it working, I was like, oh, God, you know, great. I don't have to waste the rest of my day doing this. So I didn't really have to change it. I didn't have to change anything in the staging one. I don't think any of the changes I made in the development one would have made a difference anyway. But gotta love it. Gotta love it. I hate that. And it was very annoying, because Scalar usually does a pretty good job of identifying where the problem is. Even giving you line numbers and telling you what the problem is. This was just like, it was puking all over the place with there was just no indication of what the problem was. Whether there was a missing parameter, an invalid parameter, or anything like that. So that was a fun trip. And I truly think, now that I look back, I think just that version 4.42 was probably what was breaking Scalar, not my Terraform. So that corrected, that fixed that. And now the next step, I guess one of the other things that helps you keep your job, Joel, it helps you keep your job, right? So GitHub Actions, there's a lot of deprecation going on in the workflows. So they've begun phasing out Node support for Node 12, and they changed the way that you can reference or set variables. Like if you have a job, you can run something in that step and then export out a value from that step so that it can that value could be used somewhere else in another step or even into another job. It could be outputted into another job. So they are changing that to what they call environmental files. So it used to be that you would just set an echo and output to it would be like set the output file, like the variable name to the value. And now it's you're kind of it's a similar concept, but they have environmental variables that are available to you, like GitHub output and GitHub state. So what you need to do is instead of those variables being in and of themselves within the job, you cast them into the GitHub output variable. So it's now it's echo just a line of the variable name and the equals the value into the GitHub output environmental variable, but you reference it the same way. So we have to go through and do that, which means that GitHub actions steps, there's a bunch of workflows that are available, and you reference them by the name of the workflow, which is actually the path off of github.com/, and then the actions are created under different repositories, so they're referenced that way. And then usually you supply a version after it, like at a specific version if you want to pin it. If you don't pin your version and you just grab the latest, you run the risk of if they make a breaking change, you're automatically susceptible to that breaking change. But if you pin it to a version that's working for you, that's great. You know, you can expect that it's going to continue working for you reliably. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but at some point, you have to go back and make sure that you keep kind of up to date, because eventually things are going to get deprecated and then be no longer be compatible. Case in point, they're deprecating Node 12. That means a lot of the actions have to be updated, along with the fact that they've moved to environmental files. So that's what I have to do now is go through all our workflows through our repositories and update them. And the good thing is about this is that essentially 90% of our repositories are all using the same job structure, right? We're using the same actions and everything. So it's a consistency throughout all the repos that if it's an application, it's using these three workflows. So once I get one fixed and updated and ready to go, it's just a matter of just updating the rest of them, and they should all work just the same. There's only two caveats to that. Our infrastructure repo has a bunch of actions in there that are not replicated across other repositories, so they'll need to be double checked. I don't think that's going to be hard. And there's a support repo again, that stuff that our jobs and stuff that we created that I'm gonna have to check, but it's always something, you know. It keeps you employed that you have to keep that stuff updated.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you get that call like someone at 5 o'clock in the morning is trying to do some work because they either get up early or they're in another country and they're finishing their day and they're like, my action's not working anymore. It's not doing anything. Can you fix it? And I'm like, I'm trying to work out here.
Right. You need to do the needful.
Yeah.
You need to log in. It's 5 a.m. You should be working already. Hurry your workout.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like my week.
Yeah, they're starting to do that whole trying to force me back into the office thing again. That should be fun. And then one of the things they're trying to do to get people to come back into the office is tell everyone that they can no longer use personal computers to log in to their HVD. But that's okay. I also have a company laptop.
I kind of surprised you were still able to do that in the first place.
Yeah.
I'm also kind of surprised we haven't switched to something like a virtual desktop solution.
Well, we have. Just now we have to access our virtual desktop solution from company hardware.
Not sure how I'd feel about that, but okay. Because I don't know. It's weird. Well, unless you have to access a VPN in order to get to that. Okay, well, that's why. Yeah.
On the laptops, we do have to access a VPN to get to that. But on the when I do it from a personal computer, no.
Right. So, yeah. This is why I maintain separate systems always.
Well, my HVD is completely separate, and that's not a big deal. But it won't be that hard just to set up like a KVM or something.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's... Yep. Yep.
Which, where my mouse is.
It's like yesterday, I got a break about 1:30, 2 o'clock. You know, ate my lunch at the desk on a call. Did that for the last two days. Well, today I ate it at my desk. Was actually watching some YouTube on my TV. But I still had the work laptop unlocked and was reading emails and Slacks and stuff. And I go to vote yesterday. And my wife's like, well, why don't you wait till after work? And I'm like, I don't think I'll be able to. Because we ended up having to do a out-of-band change at 5 o'clock.
So, yeah.
And, yeah.
Talk about politics here for a minute. Has anybody been watching the elections?
It's amazing to me it takes that long to count friggin' votes. With all the electronic systems that we have.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that bothers me.
Yeah, no, the only... There is some of that that bothers me, but what really bothers me is people have heard Herschel Walker speak, and he still almost got 50% of the vote.
I'm more disturbed about Fetterman, but anyway.
Herschel Walker has the brains of, like, a dead squirrel, and people thought it was okay to vote for him.
Yeah. They voted for a stroke survivor, so.
Yeah, but there's a difference. He has
actually
auditory
doctors.
Processing issue, not a, and it has nothing to do with his mental acuity. It's translation of
auditory stimulus
to words, verbal. Only it's not written or anything else, and it will
it's not
get
it does not
better.
Affect his mental acuity,
right? It doesn't
and
affect
he
his
is
mental
on,
acuity.
According to the doctors, he is on the high end of getting better. Oh,
no, good for him.
No better than Dr. Oz.
Yeah, no, you know, he wasn't great either, so I'll say that for Pennsylvania, but
still, people actually went out and voted for Herschel Walker.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
People going to vote for
a
lot of
them. At least people voted,
anyway.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. True. At least people voted. And there wasn't this giant red wave that everybody thought there was going to be.
All I know is some guy in Pennsylvania, a Democrat state rep, who died got reelected.
How? That's, oh, Jesus.
Oh, is he the one that they couldn't remove from the ballot, or because he died too close to the election,
something
or when the
like
ballots
that
were created?
Something
yeah
like that. People didn't know, and they voted for him.
Well, the basics of it all is, and it doesn't really matter where you're at, you probably have the choice between two shit sandwiches. Because no one was really good. Like I'm not a fan of Mike DeWine, mostly because of how they handled the pandemic. And I didn't really want to vote for him, but I did, because the other choice was the former mayor of Dayton, who basically turned the city into a cesspool. Yeah.
And then in Texas, you got Abbott, who won his election and was voted for by the people of Uvalde, even though, you know, it's basically Greg Abbott's policies in place at the time that caused the issues and his unwillingness to help afterwards.
Right. But I'm more interested, though, in the tech fails of the week, Maricopa County in Arizona.
Oh, that was some bullshit.
It's 2022, you know?
Okay, now, they had some technical problems. Technical problems happen, even in 2022. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you're legally required to keep the polling places open for 12 hours. So they kept the place open until 8. But then they said everybody that got into line after 7 o'clock only got provisional ballots, and then none of those people's votes counted, even though it wasn't their fault.
What was the problem? I didn't read about it. What was the problem?
There was about, 30 of the... It was the...
The voting machines took a crap.
The counter machines. Wow. Yeah, the counter machines wasn't reading the ink off the printed cards. That, I mean, they literally have the same system we use in Ohio where... You have a touchscreen thing. You go through, you do your vote, and then it prints out a card. You take it over to the counter machine. Well, first off, almost every state uses something similar to that now, especially since 2000 and the pregnant Chads and all that bullshit with the Al Gore, George Bush election. So we have advanced, much more advanced technology, and you're counting votes like 1 hour? I mean, what? Are you sitting there? Did the readers work? Did not work that bad that you had to sit there and read each one manually? I mean, oh,
yeah.
My God.
Well, in some places, they're having to manually go through every single mail-in vote to check the date, because if the date isn't correct on the front of the mail-in, then they have to not count it.
Well, that's actually a whole another thing, too, with the mail-in votes, where some states, well, I think they said up to 14 days after Election Day, they'll count them, which is why it's going to take so long.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania's turned into a total shit show, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Pennsylvania and Arizona are the new Florida.
No, Florida's still Florida. It's just they keep dropping the bar, so everybody's like, oh, well... We don't have to be better. Or it's easier to be better than Florida now.
Well, when you're counting the vote, yeah. But at least Stacey Abrams conceded last
what?
Night.
What? The president of Earth? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I have a question for you guys. Yeah. I'm curious. So, Joel, you said that your vote, when you go vote, it is you have a touch screen and it prints out a card that you take in?
Yep.
See, mine is they give you a form, like a standardized test form where you fill in, you take a pen.
Oh, you have to fill in the fucking circles?
Fill in the circle. Then we take it over to that machine where it counts it. I was just curious what other people use.
That's weird.
No, we use the touch screen, the printout, and then the scanner.
I'm not usually for like a federal jam down, but what I would like to see is all states use the same fucking standard for taking the vote.
What do they do in where you are?
It's similar to the one in Ohio, but you don't actually take the thing and manually bring it to the reader. What it does is it prints a piece of paper that's inside of a collector, and then they take that those what's it called up and scan them.
Yeah, that's more like the old system we used to have, because the old system we used to have, because this is a second touchscreen form thing. Oh, and the other thing it kind of pissed me off is in the judges races here in my county, I could not write. There was a couple candidates that were running unopposed, but I didn't want to vote for that person. I was going to write somebody in, but I couldn't. So, you know.
Do they not allow write-ins at all?
Frog, Donald Duck.
Yeah, well, yeah, actually, I was going to write in my wife and my son. I didn't know they're not going to win, but I just didn't want to vote for that person, you know. But it's like, and I think it was only on, I didn't try it with the governor because it just didn't make sense.
Yeah,
you know, no. But for it must be the court thing because they have to have certain qualifications for court.
You could do a write-in if there were two people there, but if somebody was running unopposed, it didn't give you the option.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just didn't vote in those races because I just didn't want to.
Yeah, in the unopposed ones, they really didn't, you know, give you the choice to vote or not.
Yeah, so I just didn't vote for it. You know, it said, "Hey, you missed these." I'm like, "Yeah, I don't care." I just didn't want to vote for that person, you know. So it's like,
does it allow you to do a write-in for anything?
Used to.
Oh, but. Because I think, like, ours had, you had option, like, every section, like, the senator or, and then, like, council members, you could, each one of those still had write-ins.
Right. The thing that our old system did was when you'd hit the write-in button, there was a little window that would open up and it had, like, paper on it. You'd write put your write-in on that, and I guess it had a little printer on too, so it printed like a number or something, or what vote it was for, and then it closed when you went on to the next button. But it's this current system. I didn't try writing in on the ones that had more than one person, but the ones that only had one person couldn't do it. So I was a little bit mad about that. The other thing too is I'm trying to think. Was it maybe I was looking at something else? Because I thought at one point one place I looked up the ballot before I went, and there was a Ohio has this weird thing that if you want to do Sunday alcohol sales, you have to have a referendum in your city. All right, so there was a local restaurant that wanted, you know, to sell alcohol on Sundays. I saw that online, but then when I got there, it wasn't there. So the only thing I can figure out is maybe the county just, I don't know, maybe something was different. So I don't care about that either. Anyway, it wasn't a huge issue, but.
Hold on a second. You mean to tell me in, I guess for your county, they can't sell alcohol
at all?
Oh, across the state, you can't sell alcohol at all?
A lot of the northern Midwest is that way.
Right. Well, on Sundays, you can't buy it at the store at all. The state stores are closed. That's where you get the, like, anything above about 80 proof, I think. That's sold at, like Bacardi 151, you got to go to the state store. You know, Everclear, I think you can get that at the Ohio state store. But, it's not like in Pennsylvania where you had to go to a beer distributor to buy beer, and I don't know if that's changed since I moved out.
No, the supermarkets, there's
Delos, they don't have beer.
Supermarkets, you can go in and buy just a six pack of beer or singles.
Okay, all right, but
wine too. You can buy wine now too, right?
Yeah.
Hard seltzers, all that crap.
But
nobody wants to buy that stuff, Pat.
Nah.
The hard seltzer. Oh,
I'm just saying, at least you can go in and get a single, you know? You used to have to buy a case, which is ridiculous.
Well, they got tall boys of those seltzers at the grocery store in Ohio.
Or you don't have to buy a case, Pat. You could get a six-pack at a bar that costs about the same price as a case.
Yeah, a case.
Yeah.
Well, they move past that, so.
But, you know, a lot of, I'm still trying to figure out, like, I saw someone, like, up north of, like, probably Delaware County. I'm in Franklin County. I'm tail right at the bottom of Franklin. Columbus is kind of in the middle of it. All right. And I was in and out in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Voted on election day. Did not do early voting.
Well, I thought you were talking about you went out in and out on a Sunday and bought beer.
Oh no!
In 10 minutes,
my beer anyway.
So wait, just so I'm clear though, I know you can't buy beer and stuff in a grocery store, and the state stores are closed, but a restaurant can't sell alcoholic beverages on a Sunday.
Yeah, not unless you have a referendum in the community says it's okay.
So each restaurant or bar that wants to do that has to have a referendum and has to be on the ballot.
Yep.
So
I voted on several times. Even the gas stations like that too. Actually, to be honest, I think the old place I lived when I was still in Columbus, we had to vote that Turkey Hill could sell alcohol on Sundays. Yeah,
did it win?
Sundays. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure.
See, I think that's kind of ridiculous. Like,
right?
Come on, if you're gonna let Turkey Hill sell alcohol on a Sunday, why can't
the grocery stores,
Vito's Italian restaurant, sell wine?
Give me a glass of wine, right?
Yeah.
Right. You know, but it is what it is. And then we actually had two fairly huge statewide issues. Like one of them was it passed that you have now in Ohio. You have to be a citizen in order to vote. You cannot be a migrant or a non-citizen. You know, like the DACA people cannot vote in Ohio now. Yeah, that's one of them. The other one was changing the amount of the bail based on like the severity of the crime. You know, I'm not exactly sure the whole thing, but basically the whole idea is that if somebody is a danger to the community, they can charge a higher bail. So, which
sounds
makes
reasonable.
Sense. Yeah, makes sense and it's reasonable. But
that so-called bail reform thing has been a total disaster everywhere.
Yeah, in a lot of places, yeah. But then, now see, our districting got weird too. Like, The House rep that district for the House goes from like just south of Columbus all the way out to like London Springfield area. So basically from here to almost, I would say probably, I want to say Springfield, Ohio, which is halfway to Dayton. So it's just strange, you know, and we live in the 15th district of Ohio. And what's funny is the guy who just left, like they had Steve Stivers used to be our rep, and he retired out of the House and went to go work for, I think the Department of Commerce here. I think in Ohio. Anyway, so his replacement, there was a runoff for that. His replacement got reelected. But what's funny is, while I was still in Columbus, I voted and got him the seat. You know, he won the seat originally when I first voted for the guy that just left. But then for the last 5 or 6 years before that, like between, I would say, the last census, and until the recent change, I had to vote for the other person, the Democrat that's got mostly just a Columbus mostly now. So it's just strange how they draw the districts, period. I'm not calling it gerrymandering, although that's definitely a part of it. But it's not just a Republican or Democrat issue there, but it's just strange how they have to draw the districts. It doesn't make sense.
No, I agree with you. They're really working hard to fix those issues, I know, in Virginia.
Good luck with that. See, that's the thing is I don't think either side really wants to fix it. They're acting like they want to fix it, but... But, you know, it went well. There wasn't anything major in Ohio that kind of failed or anything. But I'm still not understanding how in some districts here we had people waiting for 2 hours. And, by the way, they were not like the black areas of town either. You know, we're talking up north of Columbus. That's, you know, it's where a lot of rich folk live. You know, people that make more money than I do. But, so they had a larger wait time. I don't know. I have to look and see what the turnout was. It had to be pretty good. But like I said, in and out, 10 minutes. You know, it took me longer to drive back and forth to the polling place than it took me to actually vote, which is how it should be. And at least this time they didn't walk me through it like I'm an invalid. That's irritating. The first year or two of these machines, they were like, okay, now you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm like, I've done this before on multiple different machines. Like, let's see, probably three different voting machines since I've been voting. The one was this big old box that had a big white ballot sheet with all these little LEDs by it. So you go through that. Actually, I like that one because it didn't take long to vote. Because basically they're all there, you know, you can read it, and it was big enough you can read it. Press all, light up all the buttons you want, press the vote button, and you're done. Then they did the one where they had this cartridge they put in, and it was all touchscreen with the little strip along the right-hand side. And then the ones we have now where you have a touchscreen machine, once you press the final vote button, it prints off your card, and then you take the card over and it scans, it counts it. I don't know. The other thing too is like when I first started voting, they had like these paper books that you would sign your name on. And I'm trying to remember when it started. They require an ID when we vote, which I don't care. That's no big deal. But now it's you sign your name on an iPad. So that's what I did. I think they did that last year, or the year before. Us,
we give them our ID. They print out a little like tag, our name.
Yeah,
on
we
it,
had that too.
Scan
right?
one, and then they stick the tag on a list, and then we sign the tag, and then we get handed the. Thing that everything gets printed on, and then we go put that in the machine. We use the touch screen, yep. And we take that over to the scanning machine, and yeah, then we're done.
But
then they give us a sticker.
I get sticker too. I've stopped taking pictures of it because I'm like, come on, that's like you're 10 years old and you got to show off your sticker. Well, I don't care about that anymore. But just amazing to me with the technology, like it sounds like we're all using similar technology. Why is it taking some of these states to get these damn votes counted? It's taking them so long. One reason we know. But I don't know every state's law on that. But I think, like I said, I'm not usually one for a federal cram down, but I think all the states should be either – if not using the same system, at least using the same, you know, the same hours, you know, every polling place is open till 8 o'clock or whatever the time is.
Another shit thing about Pennsylvania is they allow early voting before they do the debates. They should at least wait till they do the debates before they allow early voting.
I can agree with that. I think that's an excellent idea, because if you've seen that debate with Fetterman, that was horrible. But
yeah, that was a little rough.
But
At least when they asked about the fracking.
And hello and good night opening. Oh, anyway. But yeah. It's over. That's all I'm glad about. Maybe when I can watch the game on Saturday.
You know what's going to happen tomorrow, okay? It's 2 years early, but we're going to transfer right into the presidential crap.
2024.
Trump is going to announce tomorrow.
Would they change it? Changed
what?
I thought he wasn't announcing something till next week.
Well, it's either going to be tomorrow or it's going to be the 14th.
Yeah, I wish he would not. And I hope we get some better ones.
You want DeSantis? As Trump calls it, the sanctimonious.
He's an idiot. No, I just think that both sides have just been utterly obsessed about him for the last, 6 years now. It's like, let go, let him go.
He keeps just throwing more fuel at the media.
The media has its own problems as well, but I'm not going to get into that.
I'm not going to argue with you there. You're right. The media does have its own problems.
Like blowing every little thing out of proportion for pretty much every candidate. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, Trump ate a cookie. And it's like, who gives a fucking rat's ass?
Trump committed treason.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
With no proof, but anyway.
No proof other than him standing there telling people to, go to the Capitol.
Yeah, anyway.
And him actually having classified documents in his basement.
I don't want to talk about that anymore. It's just...
All right, we'll move on, Joe. What, you know what I want to know? Why?
What do you want to
know? What? Okay. Why? Why when I go to Fedora's page, I can't get a good idea what the latest version is? I'm assuming it's 36, because they say Fedora 37 beta release. So I'm assuming it's 36. But if I go to Fedora Workstation, it doesn't tell me. Oh, yeah, okay, here we go. I have to go to the download. Now it tells me it's 36. Is Ubuntu that same way?
No. No, Ubuntu will try and get you to donate money first, but then you can download it for free.
Well, let's see. I don't see the version on Ubuntu's page. When I go to download, it tells me 2204 is the long-term support and 2210. LTS. Yeah, 2210 is the latest. Slackware, right on the front page. Version 15, ready to go. What version of Fedora am I running?
I don't know.
How do you tell the version of Fedora? Is it Red Hat release?
I think so.
Oh my goodness, I'm on 34. I gotta upgrade.
And Dan kills the show.
Yeah, no, not right now. I need to get I gotta buy a bigger hard drive. Every time I upgrade, I have to remove a bunch of packages because I don't have enough space.
And they're getting fairly cheap.
Yeah, you know,
for fairly large ones too. I'm thinking about my laptop I got last year has an extra M2 slot. I'd probably want to fill that up at some point.
I don't care what version Seuss is on because I would use Tumbleweed.
The one thing I do know is our friend Link did not win the Powerball, although someone in California did. One person, $2 billion.
Did they claim it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I know the day of... That was a fiasco in and of itself.
There was some technical difficulties. There was a security problem or something. And
it was one of the agencies.
It was never explained to me.
But the day of, they paid the owner of the gas station $1 million for selling the winning ticket.
Why did they pay the owner of the gas station? Like, I didn't know.
That's what they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, the gas station that sells it gets an incentive when they sell a winning ticket.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a pizza place slash not a great pizza place. Okay, it's a cheap ass one, like $5 for a large. But over on the west side, where I used to live there when I was in college, and right around that time or right before I moved into the area over there, this place, M&S Pizza, sold at least 5 different winning lotto tickets. And with every time they got their reward for selling the winning ticket, they would be making upgrades to the whole place. So it's not a bad – it's not a Bucky-sized place, you know, like, it's pretty hard to get to the size of Bucky's, but or even a nice Wawa, you know.
When they got their little bonuses, did they also try to make less shitty pizza?
No, unfortunately, no.
You know,
but when I was in college, I didn't give a fuck.
You know, speaking of gambling,
you cared that it was cheap.
Speaking of gambling and stuff, now around here, like. They opened up a casino recently called Rosie's. It's like all off track betting. Rosie's. It was a big thing. Like I don't know. I've never been there. I don't like to gamble. But one of the things that I've noticed that if you kind of go outside of town or outside a lot of these towns, you're driving down the highway. You get off on an exit. You're like maybe 4 or 5 miles outside of a town. So you go into like a little place, little area, and you got the mom and pop convenience stores with the gas stations and stuff like that. You go in there and they have games of chance in there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're like almost like arcade games, but you can play them to win prizes or money.
Like, guess which hand? Oh, wait, that was Vegas Vacation.
Yeah, it's like there's one, like, if they're almost like the games that you would go into a Chuck E. Cheese, and some
like
of those that you play.
Pusher.
There's like the one, there's like this big tabletop one where there's all these fish swimming around, and you have like joysticks on the side, and you fire off your spear to catch the fish, and like there's big signs all around it like minors not allowed to play, but sometimes you go in there and you got like people lined up just sitting there playing these games.
But I
don't see them in, like, you don't find them in Hampton and Newport News that I'm aware of, but if you go outside of town, they're in the convenience stores and some like restaurants too.
Yep, I've seen them. We have some of those too. One thing I noticed, like a few years ago, God, I'm trying to think. It was 96 probably, because I think last... No, wait. No, 2002. Yeah, that's what it was. 2002, my grandma was still alive, and Luke was pretty little. It was like 2 or 3. And we wanted to take him to Hershey Park, and we visited my aunt and her husband. So on the way back... what we decided to do is we're passing there's a casino in Wheeling, West Virginia, and we decided we had to make a pit stop anyway. So we stopped there, I watched Luke while she went in, and same thing. But the thing I noticed when I went in there was, and it was, this is like an all machine casino, so there's no like craps tables or poker or anything like that. It's all like video game machines. But the sound was just so unnerving to me. I'm to the point where I can't go in those anymore. I just can't do it. Not because I don't want to play every once in a while, but it's the sound just bothers my ears. That's the one thing I noticed as of late, anyway. But and that was, you know, granted that was about 20 years ago when that happened, so I don't know if anything like that's changed or not. But that's just the one thing I noticed when we went, the one time we went into one. The only other times I was into them was when we lived in Philly. We'd go over to Atlantic City every once in a while, and while Mom and Dad went to gamble, they of course threw money at us, and we went to the arcade. And it wasn't always video games we were playing. We played skee ball, those coin pushers, and things like that too.
How much money did they throw at you?
Oh, between $5 to $10.
No, lasted you how long? 15 minutes?
No, I was a good player at most of the old games. And we're talking, what, 86, 85, 86, somewhere around there. So there was good stuff in there then. But yeah, I got pretty decent at playing skee ball back in the day. I suck now, but not like I play skee ball all the time. And I also remember that was the first place we went to a Burger King on the boardwalk in Atlantic City back then. And that was the first restaurant we ever went to where you filled your own cups. And me and my brother, we looked at it and said, is there something, can we get a refill? You know, we didn't know at that time, you know, they weren't as common as they are now. So we go and fill them up. My mom's yelling at us, you guys aren't supposed to do that. And I'm like, I think we're okay. Because I'm sitting, we sat and watched a whole bunch of people doing it. And it's like, that's certainly what I do now if we happen to sit down in a fast food restaurant to eat, which is not often, but it happens. I did take Luke to Sunday was my wife's day for her colonoscopy prep.
So oh, we both
had ours now. That was fun time.
Was she unhappy that day?
Oh, she was very unhappy. You know. Yeah. So you know, about 4:30 or so, I looked at Luke and said, "Come on, let's go in the car. We're gonna go out to eat." Yeah, I'm like, and he's like, "Well, why do we have to go out to eat?" I'm like, because I don't want to make your mom feel bad. But I'm a little jealous of her because it's just the, well, jealous and like thinking, why did you pick that time? Because she picked 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. So from Sunday morning till we got home about 2 o'clock on Monday, she had nothing to eat. Man, was she. We got home. I said, "Did you want me to order you something?" She's like, "Nope, we got those frozen corn dogs. I'm going for those corn dogs." I'm like, "All right, but we'll order something anyway." but her reaction to the prep was completely different than mine. I, you know, basically that first dose of the Gatorade with Miralax in it. About. Between the second and third cup, I'm like, get out of the way. I'm like, yeah, and I started my elimination cycle. She had 2 dumps and that was it. She had perfect prep according to the doctor. I'm like, how? Because I couldn't get off the toilet for a while. Anyway, I guess it just everyone's different. She takes Crestor though, and one of its side effects is constipation. So it just makes me wonder if that she just doesn't have that much, didn't have that much in her. I know I certainly eat more than she does. That dang hard. At crockpot meal today, we did chicken and dumplings in the crockpot, and it came out really good. Never did those before, and I like it. It's gone, so no leftovers. So I guess they like to. I may have to make it again. But I did start picking up like little things for the Thanksgiving meal. I think I got everything I need for making the pecan pies. Because that's the pie I'm going to make. One of the pies I'm going to make. And a pumpkin, too.
I got to use my pizza oven a few times.
Did you? Week.
Oh, man, I'm loving it. I'm getting better every time. I'm loving it. But now we got a tropical storm.
I bet you can make naan in that, too.
What?
You can probably make naan in that, too.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah. I say you're in path of all the rain.
Yeah, we got a supposedly it's going to be a tropical storm. So
okay.
That on Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to getting dropping that low freezing on the regular lately.
Has it been really that cold now. Up there? Freezing?
Not yet. We've had a few nights of flirting with it.
Yeah, we haven't gotten below 50s. I don't know. It was really windy these past couple of days, so. But yeah.
Yeah, my phone's over on the charger, so I have to look on the website.
Do some more upgrades across these machines.
Yeah, I might switch this one mega back to a straight Ubuntu. It's 52 right there now. Overnight, the low is going to be 45. Actually, 41. Actually, ten day.
How's
it's
your?
Supposed to be,
oh, go
how's
ahead.
My what?
How's your new iMac? PowerBook. What is it?
MacBook.
MacBook Pro.
16-inch M1 Pro. You know what? It's working just fine. Although I did notice one thing. I noticed today was I use Devolution's remote desktop manager, which can do both secure shell as well as remote desktop. And it was doing some funky things with the caps lock, where the caps lock button was off, but in the secure shell session, I was typing capitals when I didn't want to, and vice versa. So it was like reversed. I'm not exactly sure why, although I haven't rebooted yet this week, so maybe that might be why. I don't know, but I'm still on Monterey. We haven't released Ventura yet, which is probably a good thing. But
what do you secure? Do you secure shell into what? Like
mostly Red Hat boxes. Red Hat.
So they don't let you just use SSH itself?
Oh, I can. Yeah, from an old terminal, I can. But it's better for me because the nice thing is the remote desktop manager has a database, sort of like how PuTTY does, you know, on Windows. But that can save them there, so I don't have to type the you know SSHJMC blah 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 at blah blah blah, you know, at the terminal to get it. I mean, I guess I could technically write a couple little quick SSH scripts and just execute the script to get the SSH done, but it's easier to do it that way. Plus, we also have a shared box folder that we use that. We probably should at some point buy the enterprise version. Then we can all have the same file and we'll just sync automatically. But It's not a bad, and the nice thing is with that is that I can be in the multiple terminals, and it's tabbed, and I know it can do all the same things with the Mac terminal, and I do use that from time to time, but like for some strange reason, was it either today or I don't know. One of the annoying things I discovered is some of the RDM folders that we got from our transition team, on the entries that should have been SSH, they had RDP. And I'm like, that don't work. So I had to go in. What I ended up doing is I just copied the line, you know, the title for that entry, which had the server name in it. And then I created a new SSH entry and then plopped those both in the title and in the IP field or IP or hostname field and then saved it. And then uploaded those back to Box so other folks can get them. But that was just a strange thing that I noticed today.
Prior to your new PowerBook, you were using a Windows machine for work, right?
Yes, yes.
Which do you like? Which you prefer? Like, what do you like better?
The Mac right now. It's a lot better than Windows. It's a lot more stable than the Windows machine.
Were you using the Linux subshell on your work machine at all for work?
No. I either use straight up PuTTY or there's also Super PuTTY, which basically gives you tabbed PuTTY sessions or SSH sessions.
Weren't you doing? You were using Ansible, right?
Not much in my position because I'm more the application expert. And, okay. Yeah, I was basically in the learning mode for that. Still kind of am.
You weren't doing anything with Docker containers and stuff like
that. No, we haven't done. Our product doesn't work with Docker yet.
Okay,
it has an install shield that you have to run or script. But
I was just curious because I was just thinking about it. I haven't run, like personally, I have not run Windows in 2 decades. And for work, I mean, there was a few smatterings of Windows usage. But I spent more time either in a Linux VM or on the Linux install that I had side by side on my work machine than I did in Windows. And I'm like, man, I always feel that on OS X, a lot of that stuff, particularly virtualization and Docker and stuff like that, is kind of a second class citizen. It works pretty damn good.
Right.
But it would be better under Linux. I'm not even sure how well it works under Windows.
Yeah. See, that's one of the reasons that I went to that is because on the engineering side of my job, we ended up the main DevOps guy, he uses a Mac. So our teams, you know, the engineers are mostly probably going to switch to Mac at some point. The other thing too is DevOps, our remote top manager, also works on the Mac as well, or not the Mac, Windows and the Mac as well. So my biggest struggle right now is we do use Visual Studio Code with several plugins for working on the Ansible scripts and the deployments. I have a need for a really nice text editor. On Windows, I used to use Notepad++ all the time. Right now, on the Mac, I'm using Sublime Text. It's okay. It's not my favorite editor ever, but it works. I think I have to double check and see if I can try and get BB edit on it. That's a older one that they've used for years and years and years. But one thing I am using more than I thought I would is because I can actually see them. Like if I write a note on my iPad, like if I'm taking like notes during a meeting or something, since those notes sync. On the Mac, I can go open the notepad, the notes application on the Mac, and I can read those on my laptop. So, which is kind of nice. I just wish they bring things like iPads have on some of the higher end iPads, like the M1 iPads, you can use something called Center Stage. Center Stage, yeah. So if you're on like an, the Apple video call thing?
FaceTime? Anyway,
FaceTime. With Center Stage, it will actually track your head even on the building camera. So it'll kind of follow your head as you move around, so you always stay in the ground if you're on a Zoom call and have to be on cam. They don't have that on the Mac just yet. Now, if you have one of the studio displays they brought out a year or so ago, the cam built into that has it. So, I don't know. And it does work with Zoom as well, from what I've heard. But I don't, that doesn't really matter to me. I very rarely will use the, if I have to be on cam, I don't use the cam built into the Mac. I use a Logitech cam I've had for years, a C920, which works fine once it's plugged into the dock. But, and I have that, the nice thing about that one is you can prop it like on your laptop screen if you wanted to. And it actually does put it kind of at a better angle than built-in webcams. But I actually have a little tiny tripod and I have it stuck on that, so it's a little bit higher and it's a little easier to point it where I want it. So, and good for things like if I'm taking a AWS certification test and they need to see my freaking office to make sure that the poster I have on the wall doesn't have any writing that will let me cheat on a test. I feel like I'm in high school when I take those tests.
You know what you should try? If you're looking for a text editor that's free, and I hear a lot of people highly recommend it, and I've used it, and it's all right. I mean,
right.
It seems to be pretty good, but I'm a VI guy. I would even suggest this is Visual Studio.
Yeah.
Editor. Yeah. Have you tried it?
Yeah, we use it all the time. It's got all so, like I use it for actually I even use it for other non-work things. When I'm building a Marlin for my 3D printer, I build it with that.
Uh-huh.
It has plugins that let me build the firmware right from within Visual Studio. Visual Studio Code, that is. And it works on Linux too. But and we have, like in our case, we have the Git plugins. We usually install the Ansible plugins that'll help do highlight context highlighting and stuff like that. And same thing with Python, like pretty much any kind of language. I mean, you know, hard for me to say it, but Microsoft actually built a really great editor.
No, I think the community helped build that. That's an open source project, yeah. Isn't it? So,
and Microsoft opened the source, of course, but
yeah, but Visual Studio Code. So
yeah,
so.
It's not bad. I've used it. I actually have it installed too, but I don't. For the kind of things I like, one of the things I like to do with Sublime Text is I like to open multiple log files and search across all of the log files that I have open. Notepad++ has the same kind of a feature, and it's kind of nice because it lets you hop around through four or five different log files. Because I may end up pulling log files from from four different hosts, but I want to do correlations and find out if all four servers have the same error at about the same time and stuff like that. Yeah, I could do that. We have Notepad Plus Plus on most of those servers, but we're pulling stuff from different servers, so it's like not like you can open up the log files on all of them. Now, I have to look, but I think we also have been starting to aggregate some of the logs into Datadog. And part of the problem with some of our log files, like there is a what we have a database listener, which is basically a Java program that will communicate to the either the Unidata database or the Unidata VM with the SQL database or Postgres too. If you turn on verbose log, that verbose logging can eat up 2 gigabytes of disk space on the server itself in a few minutes. It's that chatty. So one of the things we're pushing our R&D folks is to let us get granular with it and let us log like errors, please. Because that's what we really need. And if we did that, we'd probably have those logs on all the time and they would be being consumed by Datadog, and then we can do some Datadog correlations, and we have pattern searches and stuff that like that we can do on Datadog. We can also write monitors that would trigger alerts if it saw certain things in the log files. That way we don't have to sit there and dig into the logging feature in Datadog. You know, so we can do a lot of things with Datadog that we're not doing yet. So you know, hopefully we make changes in our product so that we can't leave those things on all the time. Because when a client says, hey, we're having a major problem here, and you have no log files to figure out what caused the problem, it's kind of hard to tell them what, you know, how you're going to fix the problem, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know. I spend a lot of time tuning logs.
I just got my second notification from the HOA about my grass out front.
Oh,
I don't. I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but for most of the year now, we have been under severe water restrictions here. Yep. in this part of the DFW. And when it's hot and you can't water your lawn, what happens?
It dies.
Gets brown.
Yeah. So,
they're complaining about your brown yard?
Yes.
You gotta be like, fucking kidding me.
Yes. And it's like you explain to them, water restrictions, extreme heat, Texas. I didn't want to move into an HOA area, but yeah, well, I wasn't the only one making that choice.
Yeah, luckily I don't have to take care of that, so that, you know, we've not been too bad so far as drought's been concerned right now. But
Also, this is not the time of year that you want to put in sod if you're planning on resodding your lawn.
No.
So the quick fix is not an option. So what we did, we did do this, is we put in fertilizer and we put in seed. And then I swear, like the next day they took pictures and were like, your grass hasn't grown yet.
You're a fucking moron. Right.
Are your neighbors' lawns looking like brown and dying too?
Some of my neighbors don't give a shit about the water restriction thing.
Right.
And like they make enough money to pay the fines and to pay the exorbitant amount that they have to pay for using so much extra water.
Yep.
And
so what you do is you go ahead and do that too, but when you get the fine, you mail it to the fucking HOA.
Or just when your neighbor's out to work, you just walk over, take his hose, and spray it over your lawn.
Yeah. It's okay. They say I can take it up before the board, and you know I'm banging one of the board members, so it works out.
Right. Yeah.
Wait, your wife's on the board?
Yes.
Your wife sent you?
No, she didn't send it. We have a management company that handles all that.
Is it on me?
I don't know who the management company is. I could look at it. But anyway, the management company is about to get replaced because they haven't exactly been doing their job in a while. And so all of a sudden they want to do their job, and they're basically focusing on the houses that they know will piss off the board. And yeah, okay. There are some houses around me where the grass is really green because the neighbors don't give a shit about the water restrictions and don't want to do their, you know, civic duty when it comes to not using all that damn water. But there's also a lot of houses with the exact same problem as mine. So, whatever. We put in seed, we put in fertilizer, we've watered since they lifted the restrictions. I don't know what the hell else they want unless they want me to, like,
yep,
shit magic grass.
We're in one, and right now, the thing that annoys me is because of the bump in the prices of houses all around us, most of them are empty. So I don't think we have a high enough occupancy level to where they start having meetings.
Well,
that pisses me off, one. And the other thing, it kind of sort of pisses me off, but not really, is they sent us a letter that says now they're going to, everything, all of our comms, like when we have a violation or when they want us, bill us for our fees, they will send it via email.
Well,
and I'm okay,
the HOA actually had to put in a restriction on the number of rentals that were allowed within the HOA, most specifically from companies buying up houses and then turning around and renting them out. So that happened. They put in that restriction, and you know what didn't change? The number of people selling their houses and them getting rented out. So it's a steady increase the entire time. More and more houses are turning into rentals in this area.
They're selling their houses. What did they care?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Once the house is sold, there wasn't a lien against the house. They don't care. But now the and the company that, you know, buys them and then rents them out, basically, I'm pretty sure, looks at the management company and the HOA board and laughs and says to themselves, "Yeah, we got better lawyers."
Truth. Yeah, we've had nothing like that now, but my favorite, though, was in the first line was, here, I'll actually read that line. It says, "As most people know, there have been many issues with deliveries by the Postal Service. Well, other than the first few months I was here, my service has been great, so I have no complaints about that. Complaints about UPS, many more." It says, "And the use of U.S. mail is becoming more and more expensive as time goes by. I pay you how much? Every month or every quarter? Whatever. All right, so, you know, so then they go into the spiel about cutting it over to email. Like I said, it's, I'm annoyed that people who don't want to deal with email don't have an option, in some ways, but I don't mind it, so I'm okay with it, you know. I'm more looking at, like, I have a couple neighbors that are fairly older, like, older than both my wife and I, and we're getting, you know, my wife's getting close to 60, I just went over 50, you know, so I completely understand the old farts that say, "I don't want to deal with email or a computer and stuff like that," you know, because, you know, I'm getting older and I'm caring less about the cool toys in some ways.
I don't want to deal with VR. The hell with the metaverse.
Well, hell with that anyway, because I'm not saying what they want, $1,500 for their new headset.
I have no clue. I haven't been
so what they want. That's what they want. And then you get to sit in the office, a virtual office with, like, me's.
and then Elon Musk, this time next year, he's probably going to be broke.
Well,
yeah, it's difficult to make a guy that rich that broke.
Did you read about the guy who built the VR headset that has explosives built into it, that if you die in the game, it blows your head off?
No.
I did not read about that.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that a really stupid movie?
No. This is actual. He really did this.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
But the funnest thing is both Twitter and Meta laid off employees. The Meta laid off more than Twitter.
Here we go.
Not percentage-wise, I don't think.
No, probably not percentage-wise, but they did lay off 11,000 people.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
I think it was, what, 2,500? Maybe 3,000 for Twitter?
Yeah, but for Twitter, it was like 50%.
Right.
And then they had to try and rehire a bunch of them.
That I hadn't heard of, but
yeah,
it would surprise me.
Try to rehire a bunch of the people that he fired because, you know, it found out it was actually needed for what he wanted done.
In some cases, yes. So, he is making pretty rapid changes on Twitter as well. Those are things I've noticed.
Yeah.
Rapid changes into the ground.
Well, he's doing rapid changes and then rapid reversals. He says he's going to throw a lot of stuff out there and see what sticks. And I can understand that model.
He doesn't have a bad idea, you know.
Yeah. doesn't have a good one either.
My favorite is the blue checks bitching about having to pay for the blue checks.
Or the fact that
anybody can pay for it now.
Yeah. And then there was he tried to implement the two blue checks, and then that was gone by the end of the day. And then, you know, he said anybody can say anything they want to until they started, you know, changing their name to Elon Musk and saying crazy crap.
Well, and that was even before he bought it. That was already against the terms of service anyway. so that wasn't just Elon's ego there. But.
Well, so what I was saying is this guy... one of the Oculus co-founders, Palmer Luckey, he created the ultimate device that will bring you the treat of a game like it is a matter of life and death. It's got explosives on it that it looks for a certain red flash in a game, and if you die in the game, it'll detonate the explosives and pretty much blow your head off. He hasn't used it yet, obviously. It's still in a little bit of development. There's some glitches to it. That make it go off early?
He should definitely be the beta tester on that, though.
Like, but I'm like, why the fuck would you ever build this?
I mean, I understand inspired by Sword Art some Online. Force feedback or something like that in it, but yeah, the Metaverse, the MetaQuest Pro, which is their new headset, the one with not just VR, but AR in it too, is $14.99.
No, I'm good.
Same. I think the only thing that kind of makes it better than some of their previous, like the Oculus Rift and the first Oculus headsets, where with this one you don't need to have a separate computer that it's plugged into.
Don't get me wrong, I know the quality wasn't as good, but I really thought that you'd see a lot more movement with using your cell phone as your VR screen. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you're already purchasing a cell phone, and they're already super expensive as it is, and why not be able to also use it for VR? But I don't know. I know what Samsung dropped theirs, and that was basically the end of it.
And the Google Cardboard one got completely... Both the Daydream and the Cardboard got dropped.
Right.
And Google's doing nothing with it anymore.
Right. I mean, you can still, like, get a Cardboard, and there are still some VR apps that work with it, but... Really, Google Cardboard is dead.
It had
its own app store, and if you look in there now, there's like not crap there.
Yep. Well, just like now, see, I don't know if I'm getting anything, but Stadia is also going to be dead at the end of the year. That's their game streaming service. Yeah. I got the controller for free, like back when we were living in the apartment is when I got that. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. The one thing I'm hoping is I can actually make it work as just a Bluetooth controller somewhere. But
have you tried at all?
Nah, I haven't had time lately.
I've kind of enjoyed the 8-bit do controller. 8-bit do pro 2.
Yep.
Pretty good.
And that AmberNick stuff, I've been seeing more come out about that too. Those AmberNick handhelds.
Oh yeah. Well, for me the 8-bit do is just a controller, just a Bluetooth controller.
Right.
And the AmberNick, I've heard good things. But they're Android? I think so. And I've heard good things.
Actually, like, the latest one does Android Analytics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it's still one of the Cortex A8 processors?
Yeah, pretty old one.
So I wouldn't want to try and run Linux on there.
Let me see. Chuck Payne posted it in his small computer board monitors group. Yeah, AmberNick, RG353M, arrives with Android and Linux dual boot support. And that came from notebookcheck.net. Say what has come. Let's see. Well, the price is different depending on what size micro SD card you order with it. 16 gig is $145.99. 16 plus is 64 with the unit is $153.99. And a 16 and a 256 is $175.99. Who did the video? Oh, AmberNick. I'll plop that into the channel here in a bit. I'm not exactly sure what hardware is on it. I don't think this article says, other than the storage. Yeah. I'm just fine using my Switch.
But we gotta wrap this up, man. I gotta get to bed.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We'll see everybody next week
for a wonderful show. Have a safe week. And thank you. Stay healthy.
Thank you very much. Hopefully your ear feels better.
Thank you.
It's Hacker Public. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest, and talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Shut up. It's over.
You were making it for the young in the kitchen. It's a dining room. Sushi.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Andy's
recording. My wife is roasting me up here tonight.
Jackie was saying the exact same thing about this management company that I was. Like, did they expect us to magic up the fucking yard and make it grow?
Right. Spray paint.
You know what you could have done, Joe?
Paint the grass green?
No,
you could have spray paint.
Gone out and bought bottles of water and poured them over your lawn.
No. Right. No.
I gotta keep an eye on the recording this time to make sure it just doesn't suddenly stop. I don't know why that happened last week.
And we lose half the show.
Yeah.
And I see Joel is in audio test.
I wonder. I wonder. I guess I don't have to wonder. I have to do this. Then I have to do this.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
It was with my mouth.
There we go. Wait a second.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
It was with my mouth.
Holy moly. Ay, 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 ay. Okay. Oh, yeah, it is there. All right. Okay, let's drag that. Let's drag that. All right, let's try it. No. Damn it. What do I need to do? Oh, I forget how to do this. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Where's Joel?
Did come on that he disappeared.
Okay, here we go. No, I don't want to. All right. I feel like I don't know what the hell I'm doing. What am I doing? What am I doing, Pat?
Gotta love it when I go from 1 week to the next and I can't get Mumble to work on the old settings.
Wow.
I don't know. Had to switch over to the Alsa instead of Pulse Audio. All I did was shut my computer down last week and turn it back on today.
Let's see. Let's see if I get this fixed. Oh. I thought I had this left. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Where is... Where does Thunderbird keep its configuration? At least we're going to start it up again. Oh, what is this? 297, 979. Oh, Joel, what's my problem?
You got me.
I'm looking for something on a machine I'm SSH'd into, and it's not going to be there. That's stupid. All right. What do I do? Oh, duh. Let's get the shitty audio. Let's try this one. See if it doesn't make it as shitty. Everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Still here.
Let's try unamplified. And all right. 979. All right. Let's do it to it. Give us a count around, Joel. A real McDonald's drive-through count around, Joel. Joel. Joe. What happened to Joel? What happened to Pat? What happened to Joel?
He's still there. So I can see him.
Yeah, I see him too.
I'm here.
Oh, I said, give me a count around.
I'm sorry. It's stupid. Sound is working weird on this laptop right now. I don't know why, but at least I got it working again. So, 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Maybe you should quit acting like a bitch.
Show time! Hey,
young in the kitchen.